Begin the current daf mesach ksubas daf yedal. Begin on the bottom line of daf yud gimel beis, where the Gemara continues to discuss from the discussion from the previous daf regarding the machlekes of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua that we're having in all these mishnayos regarding if a woman is believed with the men that she had beer with that it was with a kasher that she's kasher l'kahuna, or like Rabbi Yeshua that she's not in the men, she's not believed. We have to suspect that she was nivel la pasla and therefore should be pasla kuna. So I think Gemara brings the following incident. Hahu aris varasase. There was both the man and his fiance, the chasen and the kal, they were engaged. The asla kamed Rav Yosef. They came in front of Rav Yosef. He amra mine. She said, and the way, as we'll see from Rashi's interpretation, means to say that this fetus, or as other rishonim say, that this bia that I had was with him. The woman, and he says, as we continue on top of Vidal Medav, in yes, it's true. Minoi. This that we know that she had beer with a man during the time of her engagement was actually with me. So Rav Yosef said, regarding what the halacha should be, he says, look, l'may nechesh lo, what should we be concerned for in making this woman forbidden? Chada d'hakamayda. First of all, the chasen that she's engaged to agrees that it was with him. So we have no reason to believe that it was anyone else to say that, oh, was that person someone that's going to make her apostle to the chasen? Void. Moreover, Ha'am Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul Halacha Kerem Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul said the Halacha Fazer Gamliel, which we explained in the previous daf. He holds that a woman is believed to say that she was Nivelola Kashula, and therefore, in this case, she's believed to say that it was the Aris that she had beer with, which makes her still kasher to him. But of course, if she was Nivelola to someone else, then she would be possible because that is considered an Ikshasish. So therefore, Rabbi Yisus said, look, based on those two variables, it definitely makes sense to say that the woman is permitted to remain with the aris, and moreover that the fetus is considered a kash, a ksherim. Now on that psak of Rav Yosef, Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, wait a second, you made it sound like there were two reasons, but is it true, b'ha'aki le'maida, regarding the case that you just discussed, if the aris did not agree that it was him, and that is, we see that she's pregnant, or that there was a bia that happened, and he's saying, never happened with me, then Makshav Gamliel would say that it's kosher. In other words, you made it sound like you said v'oid. You made it sound like it's two reasons. One, first of all, he agrees. And moreover, sounding like it's a different reason, anyways, Allah is like Rabbi Gamliel. But would it be that Gamliel would agree that should be kosher in a case where he would not being now agree that it's from him? But V'amal Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda B'Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shin the sharp one, Halacha Gamliel, V'alacha Faz Gamliel. Yes, the woman is believed. But va'at loy taver ubdi, you should not paskin la halacha. You should not follow Rabbi Gamliel when a woman has a bee with someone that to say that she's ksher l'kuna ad ikir rev ksherin etzla. Until there is rev ksherin. Although we had a discussion in the previous daf, if that's going to be that Rabbi Gamliel holds his kasher even by rev psulin. But he's telling Rabbi Yehuda, look, that you should not do a halacha based on Rabbi Gamliel that a woman is believed to be kasher. Only if there's Rav Ksher. Now the problem is, Vahacha, and this case is Rav Psul Netzla, the majority of the people in the world are apostle to her, meaning that would invalidate her and make her apostle to her husband, meaning because the Narusa, woman that's engaged, actually everybody's apostle to her, besides the Aris, because that she's considered nation sister already from their Halachic Kedushin. And therefore the question is, what are you making it sound like it's two different reasons? Actually, it's only because he agrees that will say, okay, that fine, he agrees and she's agreeing, so it makes sense that it's from him and therefore should be kosher to him. But if he didn't agree, so who else was it? Whoever was is considered Roy Psul Netzla because everybody's Pasatar, and therefore then even Leel, based on the halacha that Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, would agree that you wouldn't be able to believe her and that she would be possible with the Aris. So that Rabbi Yosef answers to Abaye, says, look, Otameich, according to your reasoning that you're asking me from that statement of Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda, Tik shalachi gufa. What do you mean? The actual statement of Rabbi Yehuda is paradoxical. Halacha va'at loy tavid uvda. What does that mean? He's saying the halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, which is, as we said in the previous daf, even by Reb Sulim. And then he says, although the halacha is like that, but don't do it like that, but do it only by Reb Kshem. What does that mean? Now, so therefore Rabbi Yosef concludes, Elamayas l'chalimim, but rather, what do you have to say? That ha, this that Shmuel said that at loy tavid, you don't follow like this halacha Rabbi Gamliel, it means likat chila. In other words, if a kohen comes to Besdin, he's asking a shayla beforehand. He hears that there's a certain incident that happened with this woman. So we say, look, you can't go ahead and marry her unless if most of the people that it could have been that she had beer with were kasherim, because or else we have to suspect that it was with a apostle, and therefore she's apostle to you, because kanma apostle for women that had beer with a person that's apostle. Hadi'eved, but if it's after the fact, meaning if a kohen got married without asking first, then we find out that this is the case, that this is a woman that possibly had beer with apostle. So then, even when it's Rav Pesulim, we will not remove her from her husband, because anyways, she's believed, halachas are gemlil, that she's the menis, even by Rav Pesulim. Now, if that's the way we're going to resolve that, yes, halachas are gemlil, even by Rav Pesulim, that's b'diyavet. V'at lo itav, but you shouldn't do that men, likatchila, unless there's Rav Kasherim. So therefore, Rav Yusuf says, so now what I paskin makes sense. V'hanami, in this case also, where she's pregnant, and now you want to go ahead and invalidate her fetus. Moreover, you want to make her forbidden to her aris, the one that she's engaged to, because someone had a beer with her, and he's not admitting that it's him. That is also kidi evidami. That's also considered like after the fact, because if you don't believe her that it was a kosher, well, then you're going to be removing her from her husband and invalidating her fetus. And therefore, we do believe her that it was from him, even if he doesn't agree, even if he doesn't admit. We still believe, it's still the halach of Nemenes, even Reb Sula, which is the case by Arusa, that everybody besides the Aris is actually forbidden to her. But that's the halach that although, yes, he said Atlei Tavid, but that was only Ketchila. But B'di'eved, which is the case over here by the Arusa, where obviously that it's a B'di'eved, because it means to say it's after the fact of them already engaged, or else you have to remove her. For that we say the halach is like Mlil, even by Reb Sula. And again, that's why it was two different variables. One is that A, he admits, and even if he wouldn't admit, we would still say Nemenes, like Emlil had said, by a case of B'di'evit. Now, resuming the discussion relating to our Mishnah, the Gemara says that Romi le'Abaye and the Gir says le'Rabba, that Abaye opposed the following contradiction to Rabba. Umi Amr B'Yeshua ein Nemenes, did B'Yeshua really say in our previous Mishnah, on the previous staff, that a woman is not believed to say that she was Nivela l'Kashal? Now, what obviously that means to say is that we do not rely on her chazaka, which every Jewish woman has a presumptuous state that she's permitted to a kain, because every woman is permitted to a kain unless there's something that removes her from that chazaka. And here where she says that, yes, I had to be with a man, but he was a kosher, which does not invalidate me to a kain. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that she's not believed, which obviously we do not rely on that chazaka that she has. But on that, Abaye asked, very minu, but there seems to be a contradiction by Mishnah Mesechtas Idyas. The Mishnah there says, Heid Rabbi Yeshua said testimony, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Al Almanas Isa, regarding the widow of an Isa. Now, literally, Isa means a doe, but that's used as a term to connote a case of doubt, which is what a doe has with different elements mixed up, and it's not clear. What the case is talking about is that she's a widow of someone that's a suffix chal, whereas the Gemara will later on explain that that man that she's widowed from was doubtful if he was a chal. For example, if his mother's first husband threw her a get. Now, it wasn't clear if the get was closer to him, which means to say that she wasn't divorced, or was closer to her, which that means she is divorced, depends whose dalet amos it's in, and then he died. Now, it turns out that this woman now is a suffix grusha, because maybe it was closer to her, but maybe she's not a grusha because after he threw it, and maybe it was in his dalet amos, he died, maybe she's an almana, which makes her kosher to a kain, but a grusha would make her forbidden to a kain. But then be that as it may, we're not sure if she's a grusha, now she went and married a kain. Then she had a son, which is this man, who he's now a suffix chal, because if she was a grusha, then a grusha marrying a kain makes a child a chal. If she was an almana, almana is a lot of married kain, making him not a chal. And then this Safikal went and married this woman, and now that Safikal died, now this woman is a widow of this Safikal, which we call Almanas Isa, which is it talks about meaning someone that's a Safik. Now, regarding such a woman, Rabbi Yeshua said Eidus, that she k'shera l'kuhuna, that she is kasher for kuhuna. Now, what we see from that halacha is that obviously is because we support her validity to kuhuna based on her chazaka, and that is, we say that what's called al tafsilen lezumi safik. We're not going to invalidate this woman for kahuna because of the doubt that maybe her husband was a chal, maybe he wasn't a chal, maybe he was. That's a safik. A chazaka says that a safik cannot remove a doubt, cannot remove from the chazaka, which is like creates an element of vadois until we know otherwise. Since there was a definitive that she was a kasher, that's what our chazaka said. So a safik cannot remove from that. Now that refutes Reb Shua in our Mishnah. Reb Shua said that her chazakah, that she's kosher for kuna, does not work because of the suffix that we have if she was nivul l'pasala. But yet here we see clearly that when there is a suffix of if she's kosher l'kuna or not, that her chazakah does work. Someone like Rabbi responded to Abai, he said, look, hachi hashta, can that really a valid question? Is it comparable? Hasam, or within the Mishnah Masechtas Idyas, by the case of Amonis Isa, Isha Nisas, with a woman gets married, which is what the case is, she was widowed now from this man, but when she got married, by Dekas Venisis, a woman generally, she first inspects, and then she gets married. So you could say that she clarified this doubtful Gerishin, and she was found out from the sources that know that, yes, although that first husband threw a get, it was closer to him. Hence, the mother was never divorced, and therefore, she really was an almana, this husband that she ended up marrying, and therefore the son actually is kosher for kahuna, because now that almana married the kohen, she was kosher for him, the child is kosher, and therefore she's an almana from not a chal, but rather from someone that's kosher. But, and that makes sense, because when a woman gets married, she wants to clarify to make sure she's not ending up with someone that can be a psul for her. But hacha ish mezana, here we have in our Mishnah woman that's acting immoral, she's having an act of znus, by dekes and mezana, what do you think? She checks and, oh, let me make sure if he has yichus and then she's mezana? A woman doesn't do that, and therefore there it doesn't make sense to believe or to say that she was nivul l'kasher, because if someone's doing an immoral act, they'll do it with whoever it is, not just with a kasher, and that's why Rebbe Shua says we don't believe her, but in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyas, we would believe her, and the chazakah would work, because there she would check beforehand, so it makes sense that he was not a chal. Whereas over here, the chazak is not going to work because we definitely could suspect that you were nivul l'pasala, you're not inspecting when you're going to do an act of znos. Now, on that discussion, the Gemara says, the Amar Rava says that, I don't understand, Abai was only asking his question, Rabbi Shua Kasha. You asked the contradiction from Rabbi Shua of our Mishnah to Rabbi Shua in the Masechtas Idyas. Now, the Rabbi Gamliel loy Kasha, but you don't ask a contradiction in Rabbi Gamliel's opinion? Why didn't you bother to ask a contradiction on his opinion? Because of Agatani Sefer, in that same Mishnah Masechtas Idyas, at the end of that testimony of Rabbi Shura and Rabbi Shimon Mesera, Amalan Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Shura and Rabbi Shimon Mesera, "Kibalnu yadeschem, that we accept your testimony." In other words, your belief to say that this is the tradition you heard in this halacha of Amanas Isa being kasher v'kuhuna. Avamanasa, Rabbi Gamliel said, "But what do you want us to do?" Shahari goes Rabbi Yechim Zaka, because Rabbi Yechim Zaka already made a decree, Shaloi lahayishiv beznakach, that we should never establish a bezn for this purpose, to permit such a type of a woman, what you're calling Amanas Isa, to permit her for kuhuna, because most definitely she is forbidden to kuhuna. And the reason is because Shekahanim shem lechem l'rachik, the kahanim only listen to you if it's to distance someone. They're always wary of someone that's not purely miyuches. And if you'll say someone's forbidden, they'll say it's forbidden. They'll be marachik. They'll distance the person. Avaloi lekarav, but they'll not make someone closer. In other words, if you say regarding this woman that, no, it's okay, she's kosher, she probably checked into it, they'll say, no, we don't believe it, and she's going to be forbidden. Now, that contradicts from Lila Nar Mishnah, where Lila said that a woman is nemenis. She is believed, and that she's kosher guna. That contradicts over here by Amonis Isa, where we say that she's not believed to say that he was not a chol, and that she, and that Rabbi Gamliel says that she will be pasul. So does is she believed, as he says in the Mishnah, or is she not believed, like he seemingly says in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyas? Why don't you ask that contradiction? So Elamah Rabbah, rather Rabbah gives a different resolution of both of the contradictions. He says, Rabbi Gamliel like Kasha, it's not a contradiction in Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Because Hassam, over there, meaning in our Mishnah, Bari, she's definite. And that is, she says that I know that I had beer with someone that's kosher. You, all you people don't know. Yes, you know that I had an active beer, but you don't know who he is. Now, you want to validate me, I'm telling you that he was a kosher. Now, so therefore, when she comes with a tain of a Bari, she's believed to say, where everyone else is Shema, she's Bari, so she's believed. But Hocha will be here by the case in Masechtas Idyas by Amonis Isa, Shema. In other words, just like we don't know exactly the status of this former husband that just died, if it was a chal or not, for her, it's also not clear, because no one knows exactly what happened, if it was closer to him or closer to her. And therefore, you can't say Rabbi Gamliel's dictum of Bari v'Shema Bari Adif. So since, because she's not a Bari, she's also a Shema. So if she's a Shema, so it could be, Ramlil will say, as he says in Mishnah Masechta Sidis, that so she's going to be possible for Kohuna, because she doesn't have that element of Bari to help her win this Nemanis. Now, Rebbe Shua, Namali Kash, Rebbe Shua is also not a contradiction, because Hasam over there, meaning in our Mishnah, Chad Sveka. There's only one doubt. In other words, we know she had beer with somebody. Was it be with a kosher, and therefore she's kosher lakuna, or was it be with a puzzle, and therefore she's puzzle? Now the reason is because this guy's not in front of us anymore. Now had he come, and we would maybe recognize him, we would know that he's a puzzle. So it's one suffix. But hacha, we hear by the case of Amonis Isa, Trey Sveiki. Essentially, there's a double doubt. Now the reason for that is because the mother of this person that just died, of this what we call the suffix chal, The original doubt started with her. Her herself, we didn't know if she was a grusha or not. Now, her child that comes from her, in the context of this Gemara, according to Rashi's first interpretation, calls that a sveika, because if this man came in front of us, we wouldn't be able to clarify it. So that's only a level two doubt. Meaning, in the case of our Mishnah, if this man would come, we would be able to verify. If he's a kosher apostle, we would look at him, we would check into his history, his lineage. Now, but even if this husband came in front of us, that's the suffix, we wouldn't be able to verify, because the suffix doesn't start with him. It started with his mother, with an incident when her previous husband had thrown her a get. So therefore, that's a case of a double doubt. There's the mother that the doubt happened, and then her, the derivative of that, which is her child, is now he becomes a suffix only because his mother's a suffix. That's called two sveikas. And therefore, over there, Rabbi Shu would hold, as he does hold in the case of Manasisa, that actually she would be kasha for kahuna, because it's only by one suffix we have a suffix deraisis, and then she's going to be pasul for the kahuna. But when you have two sveikas, it's a double doubt, then we'll be makel and say that she's going to be kasher for kahuna. Now, so the Gemara concludes this interpretation of Rava, so Hilkach, therefore what comes out of this explanation is that l'rebing amaliel, according to amaliel, Olam Leibari, he holds that the claimant, in this case the woman's, when she comes with a definite claim, it's such a strong taina, that filibachad sveka, that even when there's one doubt, like which is the case of our Mishnah, nami machsher, still he would hold that the woman's kasher, because although the doubt is in this man, is he kasher or is he pasul, she's still going to be kasher, because the taina of Bari is such a strong thing. Now, vakilei shema, but he holds that shema is so weak, when she doesn't know regarding her husband that just died, that's what she's damona of this Isa, if he was a chal or not, that afilu sveik sveika, nami pasul, even though, as we just explained, that it's a case of a double doubt, because the doubt's not even in him, it's in his mother that the doubt was. Now, still, as Rabbi Mil said in the case of Manasisa, she will be pasul kuhuna. Now, the other way is true, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that olam lechad sveika, he holds that having one doubt is so severe, as the case of our Mishnah, that is, was this man that she had be with pasul or kasher, that filu b'bari nami pasul, that even if she comes with a definite claim saying, look, I know, if he's a pasul, I'm definitely done, the suffix is only in him, it's one suffix, but I'm telling you that he was a kasher, she's coming with a definite claim, it doesn't make a difference, we're not going to believe her, because the suffix is so strong, it's in that person. But v'kilei svei sveika, he holds that a case of a double doubt is such a weak suffix, it's not problematic, because it's not even in him, this Amanas Isa, it's in his mother. So therefore, even if the woman comes with a claim of doubt, saying, I don't know, I was married to him, but I would presume that I checked into it when I got married, so even though it's a Shema, still should be cautious, although seemingly it was contradictory, their opinions, where in our Mishnah, Melila is the lenient one, saying that she's believing, she was the machmo one. In the case of Amanas Isa, it's the other way around, again, because either one is saying that the other one's variable is so more stronger than the other one, where Gamliel holds Bari is so important, in contrast to Shema, whereas Rabbi Shua focuses more on the other element, that is of one suffix is so severe, in contrast to two sveikas, where even if Shema, as in the case of Amanas Isa, she will be believed. Now the Gemara continues bringing up Raisa Rabbanan regarding this Mishnah Masechta Sidis that we just brought in, because it was contradictory seemingly to our Mishnah of Rambam and Shua's opinion. Now the Gemara brings in a Raisa that elaborates on this halacha. The Raisa says, Ezuhi Almanas Isa. What is the case of the widow of this man that's a Safik Chal, where Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yudin Maseir had said testimony that the woman is going to be kosher lekuna. So the Tanna Kamma says, kol she'einba, that if it's talking about a case that there isn't in all the mixtures of the doubt that there is for this man that she was just married to, that she was widowed from, there wasn't in him lo mishum mamzerus, there wasn't any doubt of maybe that he was an illegitimate child, v'lo mishum nesinus, and not that there was any element of maybe from the people of the nesinim, v'lo mishum avdi melochim, and there wasn't any doubt of maybe that he was from this, for a child of the slaves of kings. Rather, the only case was that there was a suffix, as we called it before, of chal. That was the only element of doubt that went into it. Now, Rashi just points out the reason why we picked avdi melochim is because it's a reference to the servants of Shleim HaMelech, who they were wealthy and they were very powerful and influential people. And they married Benois Yisrael, Jewish women, for example, like the children of Hordas, who was a slave of the Beis Chashmonaim, and he overpowered everyone and he became king, where Avdei Melochim, they themselves are puzzle, and when they have be with a Jewish woman, make her puzzle, and the child is going to be puzzle. So we're talking about that this woman that was just widowed from this man, there wasn't all these doubts of Suffolk Mamzeris and the Sinus of all these Psulim. The only Suffolk was a Suffolk of Chal. Suffolk Chal, that is, as we explained before, Bishua, who, again, although that she's coming from a time of Shema, but since it's what's called a Svek Sveka, it's a double doubt because the Suffolk's not even in him, it's in his mother, so then we're going to say that this widow of this man will be kosher for kohen. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Now that Amr Meir says, says, Shamati, I heard, kol she'ein ba echad mikol elu, in the case of this woman, that the husband that she was just widowed from, didn't have any of this doubtful psulim, masin l'kuhuna. So then we can marry off this woman to kuhuna. Now, the Gemara later will ask, that seems to be the same thing Tanna Kamma just said. Tanna Kamma said that if this man that she was widowed from didn't have any of these doubts of psulim, so then they said testimony that this woman would be kosher for kuhuna. Seems to be what Reb Meir is saying, the same thing. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Now, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Eimer Mishum Reb Meir, they have a different version of Reb Meir, and the Chinah Reb Shimon ben Asi Eimer Kedvav Sutra Reb Shimon ben Asi said the same thing, that Ezuhi Almanas Isa, what is the case of Almanas Isa, again, where we said that the widow of this doubtful person will be kosher for kuhuna, is kosher nitma bas safek chal, is wherever that there was mixed in to this person's lineage, a doubt if he's a chal. Now, however, if there's a safek mamzer, then actually you should be machsher such a woman to get married. And the reason is because if her husband had just died was a mamzer, it can't be. Because makirin Yisrael mamzerin shebeinahem, the Jewish people know who are the illegitimate people amongst them. And everyone would have known that this husband that she was just widowed from was a mamzer. And therefore, even if there's a suffolk mamzer, that's not going to be problematic because obviously he was not a mamzer. But the Jewish people do not know necessarily who is a case of a chalal. And therefore, if there is a case of suffolk chal where maybe this previous husband was a chal, then you should invalidate his wife, because a chal having beer with a woman invalidates her too from marrying into kuhuna. Now the Gemara will ultimately ask that how do you resolve that same paragraph? First, he starts off saying Ezu almanas isa, which we said that means to say the testimony of the widow of which man is going to be kasher, which he said is kasher nitma basavik chal. If that man that just died has a doubt of chal, that woman that's widowed will be kasher b'kuhuna, which sounds like that Savachal is kosher, and then he ends off his sentence by saying that Be'emakir Chalom Shabinam, we don't know, and therefore if there is a doubt of Chal, maybe such a person is Pasal and his wife would be Pasal Tekuna. So is Savach Chal kosher for Kuhuna as he starts off, or is such a woman Pasal Tekuna as he ends off? Now, but the Gemara elaborates on this Brisa. Amamar, so the Gemara quotes the Brisa and asks the following three questions. The Brisa starts off the Tanna Kamma saying, Izuya Monasisa, what's the widow of this doubtful man, which we said will be kosher for kuhuna? It's kol she'emba if there isn't in this sveikis, le'mishum mamzeris, there's no element of maybe that he's an illegitimate child, le'mishum nesinim, not from the people of nesinim, le'mishum avdim lochem, not from slaves, which again, all these are psulim, and they have beer with a woman, will make the child apostle, make the woman apostle. Now, hachal, but what it sounds like from the diuk of the Tanakama's words, is that if there's a case of a doubt if this the recently departed husband of maybe he was a chol, then kosher. That would be the suffik isa. That's okay, that we would not invalidate such a woman. It's only regarding those other psulim that if there was those elements of doubt, that we would make her possible. Now that Gemara asks, Maish no hanoch, what's the difference between mamzeris, nesinis, avodim, where we said that their doubt, if that's mixed into the element of doubt of this person that just died, that we would invalidate his wife. Now, the reason you would say is because deraisa, because when they have a definite bia with a woman, they invalidate her biblically with that bia. As the Gemara learns in Masechta Zivamos, Daf Samach Samad Aleph, it says in the pasuk, ki siya le'ish zar, meaning once she has bia with a zar, with someone that's apostle, then she herself becomes apostle for kahuna. Now, but then the question is, but chol nami, a chol also, when he has a definite bia with a woman, he also invalidates her deraisa biblically. As the Gemara there also learns from the pasuk, it says, le'ichal zaroi, where a kohen gadol is forbidden to almana, and if he does have bia with an almana, the Torah is warning that if you do that, you're going to be desecrating your children. So when it says ichal zaroi, it equates his children to him, and telling us that just like the kohen gadol to almana invalidates the woman with his bia, so to his children, a chal will also invalidate a woman with his bia. Now, how do we know that the kohen gadol himself invalidates the woman that he has bia with? That's learned from the pasuk where it says lo yichalil, which has the pluralism to it, that is two chilulin, which is one for his children, as the Torah says, but additionally for his wife, that his wife will also become a chalala, and therefore the pasuk is equating him to his child. So to his child, the chalal, when he has bia with a woman, will also make her, that woman, into a chalala, will also make her forbidden to marry to kahuna. So the question then becomes, so what's the difference if this man, who just died from being married to this woman, who we said that if maybe he was a mamzer or a nesina, all these different elements, that then, since he's apostle, if he for sure was that, then he makes this woman forbidden to kahuna. Now, so when it's a doubt, it's a suffik deraisa, so you will go stringently and she'll be forbidden to kahuna. But chal is the same thing. Why is it any difference of a chal? If he was a chal, for sure, biblically he'll be invalidating her from kahuna, as we just explained. So to the case of Savik chal, should not be any different than Savik Mamzerius, Nesinus, and Avadim. That's question number one. That was a question in the Tanakh Kama's opinion. Vesu, continuing along to the second opinion mentioned that Braisa, Amr Meir, Meir said, Shemati, I heard, Kol She'imba Echad Mikol Elu, whoever doesn't have any of these problematic features that the Tanakh Kama spoke about, then Masin Lekuna, then we can marry off his wife to Kahuna. Now the question is, as we alluded to this before, in the Tanakh Kama, that's exactly what the Tanakh Kama said. Tanakh Kama opened up by saying, who's Amanas Isa? You don't have any Savik Mamzeris, any Savik Nesin, any Savik Avadim. Then, if you have any other Sveik, it's fine. Like Chal, then you'll be, the wife will be Kasha Vaguna. But the Meir seems to be repeating that same thing. If you don't have one of these Psulim, then you'll be Kasha Vaguna. Question number three. Vesu, moreover, moving on to the third opinion mentioned in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Eimer Mishum, Remeir, he has a different version named Remeir. And Vachin Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi, Eimer Kedvar, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi said the same thing. That they said, Ezuhi Amanas Isa, what is the case of a widow of a doubtful person that we said that she'll be kosher to marry into kahuna? It's called Shanitma Basavikal, is when there is mixed into this person's yichus, we don't know if it's a doubtful chal. Then he continued, Makirin Yisrael Mamzein Shabinein. That is, the Jewish people recognize the Mamzerim amongst them, as we explained before, and therefore a Savik Mamzer would not be a problem. But they don't recognize the Chalalim amongst them, and therefore a Savik Chal would be a problem. Now the difficulty is, but Ve'amek Reishal Chal Kasher, you started off by saying your sentence that a Chal is Kasher. In other words, there's a contradiction in the last part of a sentence to the first part of a sentence. Last part of a sentence said that Emakirin Chalalim Shabinem, we don't recognize the Chalalim, which sounds like that, so therefore maybe he really is a Chal. It's just that we don't recognize him. So obviously that what he's trying to say is that we shouldn't validate her because of her relationship with this possible chal. Now the problem is the Reisha said that what's Amonas Isa, which says that it's going to be kosher whenever there is an element of doubt for chal. So which one is it? Is it Savik chal kosher or possible? Those are the three questions in the Braisa, correlating to the three opinions mentioned in the Braisa. Now Amar B'yechan, B'yechan says, one concept that they're all discussing, which will resolve all the three questions in these three opinions. So Rabbi Yechanan says that Mamzer, if people call us a person that you're a mamzer, you're an illegitimate child of a forbidden union. And he's tzaveach, and he screams and he protests, what are you talking about? How can you say such a thing? Now, v'chal, but when they call him a chal, which is not as bad at all as being a mamzer, because a chal is permitted to marry into the kahal, he doesn't have any marital limitations, but if it, there is a downgrade in Kedushas Kehudna, there are certain downgrades, but when they call him a chal, then he's quiet, he doesn't protest. And that is Rabbi Yechon says, that's the difference, and that will be the defining point to answer all the three questions, that the difference between the Tanakama and Reb Meir, and between the first version of Reb Meir, the Tanakama of Reb Meir, and Reb Shimon Luz's version of Reb Meir. As Rabbi Yechon explains, Tanakama, so the Tanakama held, Kol Psul Dekar LeBashasik, whatever appellation, whatever psul, invalidation that they're throwing his way, and he's quiet, puzzle, that automatically makes that person puzzle in what they're talking to him and that he doesn't respond to. Because that's what's commonly known as shtika kaida. Your silence is like you're admitting. As Rabbi Yechon explains, Tanakama, so the Tanakama holds, Kol Psul Dekar LeBashasik, any time that people throw at this person a type of invalidation, they're saying that there's something wrong with you in regards to Yichas, and he's quiet, then puzzle, then he's automatically invalid. And the reason is that's known, the common concept known as shtika kaida. If he's silent, that means he's admitting. Now, as Rashi explains, that when the Tanakhama says that the chol she'imba, and that means to say if it doesn't have in this element leimashum amzeris or leimashum nesin, all these different things, what it meant was regarding to being silent. If he wasn't silent in the face of any claims that he's something wrong with his yichas, no matter what the claim is, then if it's not based on that, then that'll be almanas isa, that this woman will be kosher to marry tikkun. As the Gemara explains, this is what Tanakama said. Izui almanas isa. What is the case of when the widow of this doubtful man, that she will be kosher for kahuna? That's only kol she'emba, that if there isn't in this element of doubt, loy shtuk mamzeris, that it wasn't that he, the husband that just died, had ever been silent in the face of a claim that he's an illegitimate child, of loy shtuk nesinus, he had never been silent in the face of a claim that he's from the people of the nesinim, loy shtuk avdi melocham, he was never silent in the face of that he was from the servants of kings. Now, what essentially Tanakhama is saying is, now, since the reason is based on shtika kaida, so that would apply to being silent in the face of any claim made against his way. Now, the Tanakhama doesn't have to go ahead and say everything you could be silent on, because a person can make up thousands of claims about something wrong with a person's yichas. Now, that essentially answers question number one. Because question number one was by saying that, oh, it sounds like Safek Chol is going to be kosher. Now, why is Safek Chol any different than Safek Mamzer? Something that seems they're all deraisa problematic. The answer is because we're talking about something different over here. We're talking about the shtika. Now, shtika, as the Gemara continues, v'loy shasik chol. So too, the Tanakhama actually holds that there is no difference between being silent, because he just didn't have to say every case. Truth is, if you're silent to a claim that there's something wrong with you, it doesn't make a difference what the claim is, that if it's mamzeris, nesin, and avadim, or even the case that wasn't mentioned, even the shtika of chol. Now, then the question is, so then what was the case that the Tanakhama said is going to be kosher? So what is the case of Amanas Isa that the woman will be valid to be able to marry into Kuhuna? That's a wife of a Safek Chol that we know what the doubt was. The case that we described previously, that where the mother was maybe divorced, maybe not, but someone that we don't know anything about, but we just hear that people are throwing things to him and saying, oh, there's something this wrong, you're a mamzer, you're a chol, and he's silent, then it'll be possible even by the case of chol. There's no difference. And therefore, to answer question number one, which should ask that what's the difference, both of them would be a problem. Derais, you're right, there's no difference. The difference is only in the case of not in silence. For the case of silence, they're all going to be the same. But the case of the suffix is where there's something that happened with the mother. So that is, as we said, that's what's called a svek sveka. And therefore, then in that case, the woman will be permitted to marry into kahuna. Now, on that, the Gemara continues. The Kamali Reb Meir, now Reb Meir responds to the Tanakhama and says, no, just specifically Hanachu, only those cases that you mentioned of the Mamzer, Nesina, and Avodim, where the Kaposalei Bakal, when someone tells someone these things, those are really problematic claims that people are making, because they make that person possible for marrying into the Jewish people. Now, so in those cases, that's going to be a problem if someone's silent. Because if he's silent, that means he's admitting. Avashitu chol kosher. But if he's silent in the face of people throwing claims and, oh, you're a chol, then, and this answers question number two, which was, it seems like that Remeir is saying the same in Tanna Kamma, that's where they argue. If he's silent when they're telling him, you're a chol, that Remeir holds that that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean shtika kaida. It doesn't mean that I'm admitting that I'm a chol. Rather, the reason for that is because b'hadish asig, this that he's quiet, is because there's a fundamental difference between the cases of Mamzer, Nesina, and Avodim, and the case of the claim of chol. And the reason is because mishum d'leich b'slei, because it doesn't bother him. It's not because he's admitting. It's because that's not a psul of kol. And that's what Remeir means when he says, kolsha ein bo echad mikol elu. You're right, if there's none of these silences that you spoke about, which is Mamzer, Nesina, and Avadim, then we could go ahead and marry their wives to Kahuna. But what that means is that even if he was silent in the case of Chol, which you did not mention, that I wouldn't be bothered with, because that, I wouldn't say Shtika Koida. Those cases I would say Shtika Koida, because that's a pretty big claim. If you don't answer, that's problematic. But here he doesn't bother to answer, because fine, I'm a Chol, big deal. What's going to happen? I can still marry whoever I want him anyway. And that's why, that's to answer question number two, what's the difference between a man and Tanna Kamma? It's in that case of being silent in the face of being said that he's a chal, which the deek is that it's in ba echad mikol elu, it's specifically those three. Not like the way the Tanna Kamma is making a more looser interpretation where it's like, it's not just those three, it's any, being silent in the face of any claims. Remeir learns it's only specifically those three. Now, moving on to question number three, to the third opinion mentioned in the Braisa. On that, v'komali Reb Shimon ben Elazar Tanna Kamma Remeir. Now, that's what Reb Shimon ben Elazar's version of Remeir tells to the Tanna Kamma Remeir. As Rashi says, obviously not a reference to the Tanna Kamma of the Braisa, because that's the Rabbanon. Rather, it's the Tanna that had first said Remeir's opinion in the Beis HaMedrash. And he said that this is what Remeir said. On that, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says no. That he argues on what it is that Remeir said. And he said, no, Ishmielach the Machshir Mei B'shtika, if you did hear, as you're trying to claim, that Remeir said that there is a case of being silent that is kasher, where the first version of Remeir said that there is a case, where although when you're being said that you're a mamzer and a nosin and a eved, that then that would not be considered kasher, because that's a pasul kol, but Remeir said that the case that would be kasher by silence is by chal, because he doesn't care. And that is what Reb Shimon Elazar argues and says, no. Loi dekaru lechol v'shasik. That's not the case that you said of when they call him a chol and he's quiet. Ela rather dekaru le mamzer v'shasik. In the case of when they call him a mamzer and he's silent, that's actually when he would be considered kasher, and that wouldn't prove that he's a mamzer, and his wife would be considered actually permitted to marry into the kahuna. And this is what Reb Shimon Elazar was telling him. And this is how he started off his sentence, by saying, Ezuhi almanas isa, what's considered almanas isa? Whenever there's an element of doubtful of chol mixed in, which again, as we explained the case before, not regards to the case of silence. Rather, that we know regarding that man's mother had a doubtful gerishin. But when he's silent in the face of being said he's a chol, and we don't know anything about that, actually then, by being silent, that will say that he's pasul, like the Tanna Kamma. But what is the case that Remeir did argue in Tanna Kamma? That's because the Tanna Kamma said that any psul that he's silent in, he's going to be pasul, shtika kaida. It's like your silence is as if you're admitting. But according to Remeir, it's only by the case of when he's silent in the face of being said he's a chal, that then he'll be considered pasul. As the Gemara is going to explain, the reason is because Savar, in the case of when they tell him that he's a mamzer, he thinks, everybody knows I'm not a mamzer, because as this is the enigmatic words that Reb Shimon Elazar ended off with, mamzer kala isle. Mamzer has, the word spreads fast when it's an illegitimate child. And that's what the words he used by saying, makir yisur mamzerin shabinim, the Jewish people know the mamzerin amongst them, and therefore he says, I don't have to respond. Someone calls you're a mamzer, I have to respond. Everybody knows that I'm not a mamzer. Avol, however, and this is the case that Rabbi Yochanan described, is the machlekes that they're all arguing about. Mamzer v'tzaveach, but when they call him a mamzer and he screams, he protests, don't call me a mamzer. But chal v'shaisik, but when they call him a chal and he's silent, that then he's going to be actually pasul. And the reason is because v'hai de ishtik, this that he's silent when they call him a chal, suffer he thinks, mistayeye delay mafkele mikal, I'm better off being quiet, that they don't remove me from the kehillah. In other words, if I'm going to protest when they call me a chal, then they're going to go ahead and investigate. And they're going to say, what's this big commotion going on? They're debating if he's a chal or not. And then they're going to verify that I really am a pasul. Now, I'm better off not saying anything because, and this is the other part of the sentence that Reb Shimon Lazar said, the Jewish people, they don't recognize who's a chal or not. So let me just slip under the radar instead of making a big commotion and protesting. Now, however, when he's silent in the face of being called a mamzer, he's kosher. And this resolves question number three, because amonas isa is different than being silent in the face of being called a chal. So although it seemingly was contradictory, what does Rav Shimon Lazar hold regarding the case of a doubtful chal? It depends. Doubtful chal in what we call amonas isa, when it's this his mother that had a doubtful gerushin, oh, that's going to be kosher. But when there's a different doubt of chal, meaning when people are accusing him to be a chal and he's not responding, he's silent, so then we'll say that he's a pasul. And such a widow is going to be a pasul to marry into kohen. And the reason why he's silent is because, man, no one's going to realize anyway, because the Jewish people don't know who the chalalim are. And therefore, when he's silent, he's trying to get away with it, then there's reason to believe he really is a chal. But being silent in the face of being called a mamzer, that Yisrael, the Jewish people know the mamzerim, and therefore he says, what do I have to answer for? And therefore, that actually will be a case of when he's going to be kosher, and that resolves all the three questions. And that's the machlekes where you have the Tanakhama on the one hand who says, if you're silent in the face of any accusation, you're going to be pasul in that psul. You have the first version of Rav Meir that says no, that you're right regarding the three psulim, that if you're accused of a mamzeris, nasinis, and avodim, and you're silent, then that's a pretty big accusation. If you're silent, that would be shtika kaida. But regarding the psul of chal, that the guy, he doesn't care. Fine, call me a chal. What does that make a difference? I'm anyways kashal to marry into the Jewish people. Whereas the second version of Rav Meir, that Rav Shimon Lazar holds actually the opposite. He holds that when you're accused of being a mamzer, that doesn't bother a person because everybody knows that who's a mamzer and who's not. Whereas when you call the chal, that actually would be the problem. And then such a woman would be forbidden to marry into kohen. And the reason is because he thinks no one knows and therefore he'll get away with it and therefore he'll just be silent and he'll just take it. Oh, then we have to suspect that actually maybe this person was a chal and therefore his woman, his wife, the new widow, would actually be pasul for kohen. Now the Gemara brings, related to this discussion, the following contradiction. Tanechada, on the one hand, we learned in the Braisa, B'Yisi Aymer, he says, Shitug mamzer kasher. If someone was silent in the face of being called a mamzer, then he's kasher. Shitug chal pasul, but if he was silent in the face of being accused as a chal, then he's actually pasul. But betana idachlin, another brisa that says the exact opposite. Shitug chal kasher. If he's silent in the face of being called a chal, he'll be kasher. Shitug mamzer pasul, but if he's silent in the face of being called a mamzer, he'll be pasul. So how do we resolve that contradiction? So people said, like kasher. It's like we just explained. Ha, the second brisa is going like Tanakama libadre meir. The first version of that brisa according to Reb Meir. Ha, the first brisa, it was going like Reb Shimon Elazar, Alibad Reb Meir, where again, as we explained, that according to that version, only if you're quiet in the face of being accused as a chal, then you're pasul. But if you're being accused of a mamzer, then that's not a problem because everybody knows who's a mamzer and who's not anyway. And that's why being silent in such a face of such an assault would not make a person as a pasul. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, where if a woman was Nivala, and the question is, was that Bia with someone that is kosher, thus she's Ksher Lekuhuna, or was it Pasul, and thus making her Pasul Lekuhuna? The Gemara continues with the following halacha that's related to that idea. So Amar B'Yesi says, Maisa B'Tinoikis Sheyardu L'malas Maimen Ayin. There was an incident with a young girl that went to fill up water from the spring, Venensa, and she was violated there by the spring. Now, Amr Bechamin Nuri, so Bechamin Nuri says, we don't know who this man was that violated this woman, and then he ran away. So the question is she kasher lekuhuna or not? If he was a pasul, then she's pasul lekuhuna. If he was a kasher, she's kasher. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Im roiv anshei ha'ir masin l'kuhuna." If most of the people in that city where this violator probably came from are kosher for kuhuna, in other words, that their daughters and their widows would be kosher for kuhuna, meaning to say that the majority of the people of that city are not from people that will invalidate their woman from marrying kuhuna with their bia, meaning they're not mamzerim or nesinim that when they have bia with a woman make her invalidated from kuhuna. Most of the men are not pasul. Then harezu tenas lekuhuna, then she can marry into kuhuna, because then they're going to go based on the halachas of roiv, where since the majority of them are not mamzerim or nesinim or avodim or non-Jews, so then probably based on the halachas of roiv, a majority that they were kshayim. So although we don't know who this violator was, we assume based on the halachas of roiv that this woman was violated by a kasher, thus making her kasher lekuhuna.